bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Finding God in Prison. My name is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Today's show will be focusing on letters to the victims, letters of appreciation, apology letters, forgiveness letters, and some additional topics that are really important in what we call the 168, the total number of hours in a week. And so I want to start off today by letting you know that when someone comes home from prison, he's normally on parole, probation. He can be on house arrest. And basically, we want to have an attitude of gratitude where we're giving back something to those who helped us while we were inside, including the judge. And we're going to start off with that because it's important. Because the judge who has sentenced us to probation, parole, house arrest, work release, whatever the sentence is coming down from that judge. So while we're in a position to do some good, whether on the inside or outside of prison walls or recovery home, we want to prepare a letter to the judge at some point to show him the good things that we have accomplished and that we're not wasting time while we're sitting in our homes or in a transitional home or in a prison cell. That we are accomplishing things in education and also in the trades, and possibly in even a college degree. So we want to begin to write a letter to the judge and to thank him for the things that he has given us, and then to acknowledge in our letter the achievements that we have completed and highlight these over that period of time. And the goal is to request a reduction in probation or parole or house arrest, a reduction in bail. There's a lot of things that the judges can do, but we want to show them that we are, you know, grateful for what it is, you know, they are doing for us. And so if we ask them for a reduction in time or something of that nature, we want to show them first, before we put the request in, that we have completed some good things. We have achieved some, you know, goals that are important in life as good men. And so I want you to consider writing a letter of thanks to the judge and to launch it at the very proper time so that we can, do that first and then, you know, follow it up with a request for that reduction. And it's important. And I'm going to tell you that most judges don't get thanked very often, but there are a lot of requests that people put in. And it's important that we acknowledge, you know, the judge. And once again, he does have all the cards. Like a dealer in Las Vegas or Atlantic City, they deal out sentences every day. They may have 100 cases a week. And so they normally will, you know, handle sentencing at the proper time. And it's all up to us as to how well we do in court. So we want to have an attitude of gratitude. We want to have respect for the judge, for his house, which is the courtroom. And we want to make sure that we've done everything possible, you know, to get the best outcome, the best result in the sentencing phase of the case. Now, beyond that, I want to encourage everyone listening to write a letter to the victims. If you don't have a restraining order against you, I would like you to consider writing a letter to the victim, whoever it is out there who was victimized by you. And so we want to do that because, you know, God calls us to, you know, love one another. He calls us to make amends, to make things right. And we want to, you know, do what we can to heal the wounds of the past that were inflicted on this individual, whoever it may be, whether it be family, friend, acquaintance, or someone we did not know. We want to take it upon ourselves to go the extra mile and to do the right thing with a letter of apology to the victim. And I challenge you, my friends, who are listening to this program, to write this letter from the heart and to to do all that you can to help to heal the wound that you may have inflicted, you know, whether it be intentionally or unintentionally, because there's all kinds of situations. But a letter to the person who was injured, person who was hurt, and the person that maybe was taken advantage of by you, I encourage you to do that, and I want you to do it, you know, today or as soon as possible to make things right and to listen to what God says to do. You know, you may have good intentions for the Lord your God, but he wants us, as he says in the gospel, to go first and make things right with your brother and then bring your gift to the altar for me. Because if you go to God and while you're there with him in prayer, reflect on the fact that things are not right with your brother or sister, then you have work to do. You and I have work to do first. So I want you to consider, you know, writing that letter to the victim of apology. And this, my friends, is a high priority item. We waste no time with this because God wants us to, you know, make things right. He calls us once again to make amends. Now, if you're on the other side and someone has wounded you, I want you to consider writing a letter forgiving those individuals, okay, and extending an invitation to them to possibly come visit you, okay, and opening that door for an apology from them who wounded you, which is important because we want to close the gap, close that separation, and we want peace. Once again, we want to make amends. So sometimes we want to prompt someone to make an apology, and we do it through forgiveness and through an extension of an extended invitation with a loving touch. But it's important, and we've done this in the Wings program before, and we have had a lot of success with it. And if someone doesn't accept your apology once or twice and you've done all you can, then you have to let it go and move forward. But God knows you've tried and you've done all that you can to make things right. But it is a high priority item because we are called to make amends, and God wants us to have the humility to either write that letter of forgiveness, that letter of apology, or a letter to the judge. And this is something that requires humility amongst men, amongst women, to do these kinds of things. But I, once again, I ask that you take the time to consider doing this because it will move your life forward. Remember, the Wings program is about winning ideas, nurturing growth and success. We don't want to be stagnating, because stagnation breeds depression. We want to be growing and succeeding. And part of our success in reentry is to get home and to get a reduction in time, a reduction in bail, work release, house arrest, reduction in probation. But we have to put our good foot forward and show the judge that we're worthy of this result that we're requesting, that we're worthy of it. And we have to prove beyond any doubt that we are honest, sincere, respectful, and accountable as we, you know, send this letter to the judge. And this is important, my friends, because it's your life. And we don't have unlimited time to do it. So we want to, you know, take it to heart and get moving on this immediately. Very, very important. Another area we want to talk about is the 168, which is the total amount of time that we have available each and every week. We don't want to waste time, so we want to spend that time doing everything positive. Positive activities for the mind, body, and soul. Time for God, time for you, time for family, time for your work, community service, and hobbies and sports. Everything is positive in the 168. And we want to be clear that there are many things to do, including getting your rest, which is important. We encourage 8 hours of sleep a day, and that you get the rest you need to make you, you know, motivated the next day. Make you aware of the things you have to do in your plan of action, and then to move forward. But some people are staying up late, watching television, or staying on the phone, and sleeping late. And that is not part of the WINGS program, because we want to have, you know, productivity each and every day. We want to have a productive life. And it calls us to get our calls for us to get our rest and to be prepared for the next day. And like a pilot who goes out on a flight, if he isn't well rested, he's fatigued and his performance will be impacted. So our goal is to get the proper rest every night and to make sure that we're prepared, you know, to work that plan of action the following day. Remember, most people don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. So part of the planning is to get the proper rest in the 168. And that calls for 7 days a week, 8 hours a day. That's 56 hours. And that's a lot of time. But, you know, when you're well rested, you're going to be, you know, at your best. It's no different for ball players when they're going out for the game. If they've been up all night, it's going to affect their performance. It's going to be degraded. And there's no question in my mind in the field of aviation that pilots need to get their rest to give their best performance as they take care of their aircraft, their crew, and their passengers. But I throw this out to you, my friends, because we have people in the WINGS program who are not always resting at night. They are engaged in long phone calls. They are engaged in watching late night television. And I want to encourage you to avoid those kinds of things to give you better balance. The more balance you have spiritually, mentally, physically, you're rested, you're going to have more peace. And that is a goal in the WINGS program, to have as much peace in the 168 as you can. The other thing I want to bring into today's show is the fact that we have written thousands of action plans for the future with short-term and long-term goals tailored to the life, to the education, to the family that of the individual that we're working with. And one of the things we want to do when we set up goals is we want to include God in our plan. You know, we want to have him on board with what we're doing. And so, you know, the Lord says in the Gospel of Matthew, he says, ask and you receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open for you. So as you prepare your plans of action, have you asked God for what it is that you want? Have you included him in your goals and dreams? Have you, you know, thought about whether or not these goals are lined up with what God says to do, or are they lined up with what God says not to do? But I want you to think about your prayer life and asking God to help you with the goals that you would like to come to fruition in your life. Because God is there for you and he's there for me. And this show is titled Finding God in Prison. And we know God is everywhere. He's inside prison walls and he's outside prison walls. And he hears our prayers. Once again, he says, ask and you will receive. Well, what is it that you want? What is it that you've been waiting for your whole life? Maybe you had dreams when you were younger and those dreams were destroyed because of incarceration, because of addiction, because of the loss of a job, because of a divorce, maybe the death of a loved one. But God wants those dreams to come true. He wants you to, you know, go before him in a humble way, showing great humility, great reverence, and put your dreams on the table of God. Give them up to God and ask him for what it is that you want. God will bless you with the blessing of obedience if you are, you know, lined up with what he says to do and not to do. And once again, Moses says it best in the book of Deuteronomy. The blessings of obedience are available for all of us. But we have to be careful to do exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to do. We don't want to deviate to the left or right. Like an aviator who is landing a plane on a runway, he wants to land on the center line. Exactly in the first one-third of the runway, the landing zone. He wants his wheels to be on both sides of the center line of the runway, the safest place to land a plane, safe for the aircraft, the crew, and the passengers. And this is where we want our lives to be, my friends, in the best place possible, so that we can receive the blessings of obedience, which we've mentioned many times. But people don't think that they are real. But if you read the Word of God, if you go to the book of Deuteronomy, you'll see the blessings of obedience right there for your reading pleasure. You'll also see great words about God's care for us. And what he says, you know, is defined as a good life, how he would like us to lead our lives. But sometimes we hear, but we don't listen. We're not responding. We walk the other way. We're stubborn. We're obstinate. We are selfish. We are greedy. We want to do what feels good. But God calls us to a higher standard, my friends. Where are you in your relationship with God? Is the door open or is it closed? Is your heart warm for God or is it ice cold? Remember, this program is about finding God in prison, recovery homes, outside prison walls, in your own home. It's about finding your relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is important, my friends, because in the Wings program, God is first, we are second, and we are humble enough to say that. We have the humility enough to identify God as the captain, and we are the co-pilots. Does that make sense? And if you don't agree with that, then we have some work to do. If you think God is the co-pilot following your lead, that's a problem. That's not going to work. The Almighty God, the creator of the universe, who brought you and I into the world, is no way number two. He must be number one. And God calls us to understand that and then to love him and serve him, to know him, to love him, and to serve him. If you don't know him, you can't love him, and you can't serve him. We've got to take the time to know God and then fall in love with God in a special way, making us a better husband and father, a better community servant, serving other people, a better humanitarian, a better government leader. All kinds of examples we can use today, and it all starts with that special relationship with God. We truly have to open our hearts wider for God to get to the higher levels in a relationship. Like a marriage between a man and a woman who are married for 75 years, imagine. Their hearts are open wide to stay together that long, to have children and grandchildren, to develop that incredible personal relationship with God requires a lot of love over the years. Love for God. Falling in love with God. And there are many things we can do to do that. Prayer, fasting, sacrifice, and getting on board with reading the Word of God, to getting it within our habit pattern each and every week. And it's powerful. So I lay these things out for you, my friends, because I want your plan for the future to succeed. And God will help you if you allow him in to your life. God does not force anyone on himself. He does not. We need God. And God, you know, wants us with him. That's the goal, to be with God in eternal life. But we have to do our parts each and every day. And this is not something that is on the back burner, last on the list. In the Wings program, God is first. I'm going to pose the question to you and I. Is God first in your life? Or is he last on the list? Only 1 hour a week. Have you made him an obligation? In your home, are there individuals who don't want to go to the church to listen to the Word of God? Do they avoid the conversation? What can you and I do to foster a better relationship? We can, number one, lead by example. Be the best Christians that we can be in following Jesus Christ and following his word. And to do exactly what our Blessed Mother Mary did. You know, allowing God's will in our life to be done. And to not push him off, push him away, ignore him, just try to deceive him. God cannot be deceived. He cannot be cheated. God, all good things come from God, and all things are possible with God. So it's up to you and I, my friends, to make a clear decision. And as inmates who are incarcerated, or men and women in recovery from substance abuse or alcoholism, we have a decision to make, to ask God for help, in changing our lives to going forward from the events that took place that led to incarceration, an overdose, or all kinds of things that are tragic in this world. What is the number one change that you have made since God came into your life? What is the number one change that you need to make that you have not made yet and you are unwilling to make? What is that change that you've been holding off, procrastinating, putting off on the back burner, unwilling to identify it to other people or to give testimony? What is that change? I challenge you, my friends, this week to come to terms with that change that will ultimately change your life for the better. What is it that you need to give up, to eliminate? Is it alcohol and drugs? Is it criminal activity, the lifestyle, sex, gambling? We've had many, many men and women in our programs, and very often it's the lifestyle that they enjoy leading. If you need to change the lifestyle to get on board with what God's telling you to do, I want you to think about doing that today. And don't wait before something happens. We've had many people in the Wings program who have passed because they were unwilling to give up the drug of choice, the alcohol of choice, the lifestyle, the criminal activity. And God is calling us to make better decisions once again, to give him the best that we have. And to do that, we've got to eliminate some of those things that bring us down, hold us back, create procrastination, and keep us stagnating for years and years and years. This week, my brothers and sisters in Christ, my good friends, I call you to make the change that you've been putting off right now. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Have a great day. God bless you, and we'll see you next time here on Finding God in Prison at Holy Spirit Radio. Have a great day, and God bless.